Welcome to episode 52 of The Summoned, a podcast dedicated to the Judgment Eternal Champions miniature games. I'm one of your hosts, David Coakley, a.k.a. Fabius Bowell on the Discord, and I'm here with my other lovely co-host, David Wonky, Wonky Kong on the Discord. And how does this evening find you, Wonky?
Doing good. Just finishing up some of them outside projects, you know, as we approach winter. Time to, you know, end the slacking, get some stuff done.
Right, it's like... Well, and you have to find that right time, right? Because if you do it like in the middle of the summer, it's too damn hot, especially lately. Yeah. So it's like you've got that, I think it's what, like about a 6 week to 8 week period of spring and fall to really do stuff. And then it's back into winter or into summer.
Yeah. When it's like 85 degrees and humid out, it sucks doing shit outside. So
yep,
that is definitely a very, very true statement. But yeah, no, I've been working on that kind of stuff. And working on my sweet map that I've been carefully crafting that seems to be going pretty good from what people have played on it.
Yeah, I was gonna say I'm actually getting ready to play on it this upcoming Sunday with John. So nice. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's exciting to see the new maps kind of coming in. And like, I know I've got two maps, and like one of them was very gimmicky.
Right.
But the other one that I think you guys are, the one you guys are running this week, I did put a lot of thought into it. And actually, as I was making it, was like putting models places to like legitimately check ranges and charge lanes. And
yeah,
I put a lot of thought into it. And then I did some initial tweaks after my first game. But it seems like the feedback I'm getting so far has been pretty good, because one of the complaints was like, oh, this area of the map was never used in our game. And I was like, you know what's funny is definitely was used in the game I had. So obviously people are going to play it, but some of the map concepts have been pretty interesting to see.
Well, that's like, I got a game in last night with Gamer Dad, right? And we played on his new map that he put out and tested it. And I gotta say, like, when I initially like loaded into his map and looked at it, I looked at it and I was like, okay, this is interesting, because I'm sure you've seen it, right? With him posting
it in
the channel.
Yeah, we were actually talking about it a little bit earlier tonight. Yeah, his has got, like, I think it's interesting, but, like, the weird double shrine by the, like, the double shrine with the soul pit all within, like, three hexes of each other seems like, I don't know why you would go anywhere else. Like,
well,
because you have a soul, like, you literally, if you have a soul gazer, it can be on a shrine and soul gazing, and then you have a second shrine if you want more fate, and then you still have, it's only a two soul pit map, so like,
yeah, but there, feels, but it's that like tier that one said, to three and that tier four over there that you have to deal with.
True, but if you're by the other soul pit, you have to deal with that anyways.
Well,
but this side gives you a double, like two shrines, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, like, I'll be honest with you, when we played our game, right, we actually stayed about middle of the map. Okay. Like, it really went to a cluster fight in that forest.
Yeah.
And I was even running Masuzi, right? Like, I had Masuzi and such, and we ended up with a Canuck on that right side, and we had a Inferno that popped up on the left, an Inferno that popped up on top, and an Inferno that popped at the bottom. So like, we were just fire all over the place plus a Canuck. And I gotta say, like, playing it, I wasn't 100% sure like how balanced it was gonna feel initially. And I'll tell you, by the time we got into I want to say turn three, turn four, like, I was not having a great game to begin with. And then the monsters really were, like, closed in.
Yeah, one thing I've noticed...
That made a huge difference in that game.
Yeah, I mean, one thing I've noticed with... I feel like a lot of the maps... Like, mine only has... Like, mine's three monster pits. But a lot of the maps do seem to have a lot of monster pits on them. I think that's something I've kind of been noticing that is a little bit intriguing. And now people are talking about monster pits that don't respawn monsters. And I just don't like that idea.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about like that one personally.
The chaos of the additional monsters coming back, I think, is important.
I think it is too.
And now the one thing that kind of throws that a bit of for a loop is the like Vajasha.
Right.
Because I noticed, like, I like Vajasha. I like the things she does.
Yep.
But it feels like when she pops up, it's like insanely impact. Like,
Yeah, she is
to the
insanely
point
impactful
where, like, it
because.
dramatically shifts the game. And
Yep.
that's one of the things I've been noticing a bit, like, where she is just so swinging when she does appear that it's almost like either you want her to show up when it's advantageous or you're behind.
Yep.
Or, like, you definitely don't want to see her. You're like, I don't care. It could be any monster but her
Right.
because of how much she can end up doing, I guess.
Well, and that's what's really funny is in that match we played last night, she did. She respawned on the Soul Pit, that 1-3
Yeah.
behind me, because I was on the bottom.
Okay.
And she ended up walking in and like slapping my sky for a solid, to where I ended up having to deal with her for like a full turn, which sucked.
Yeah, she can take a bit of effort to kill.
Well, and I didn't end up killing her.
Okay.
I took her with like I charged with Rakir and got what I needed to just shove her ass up into GD's warband. I was like, here, you deal with her. I'm not dealing this.
Yeah, it's like she's such a fun monster for what she does, but I have been noticing on games lately that it's almost like too impactful when she comes back up on the respawn. And maybe that's enough of a reason to do some of these like monster spawns that don't like respawn. I actually wouldn't hate to see some non-random monster pits come back.
Right.
Where it is like, hey, this is always, a gloom, or this is always an inferno when it comes up. 'Cause then
At
the
least you
game,
plan around it a little bit.
yeah, the game like needs some randomness to it,
Right.
but like there's got to be a fine line of randomness where if too much stuff is random, it doesn't feel like there's as much skill involved, right? So,
Yeah.
have you ever played Riot Quest?
I have.
Okay. 'Cause Riot Quest feels like the randomness is too much. Like
Yes.
where your guys respawn, where the stuff like
Yeah.
it's there's like too much random. And it feels like, yeah, you could be playing a good game, but then you just get got by randomness. And I think for a game that we're trying to do tournaments and events for and invitationals for, like, yes, you have to have some randomness to it. We're not playing chess.
Right.
Understood. But you can't have like too much randomness in it. And that's why like the 5 soul pit map where it randomly spawns, I understand the concept and the reason for it. He doesn't want people to break up around a soul pit. He
Right.
wants it so you have to adjust to the different,
Right.
the different spawns and whatnot. But at the same time, you're like, okay, if I'm on a 2 or 3 soul pit map, I know where the next soul is going to be. I can plan for that. I can account for
Right.
that.
Exactly.
Where now, granted, it does kind of suck when, it's 2 soul pit map. You set up for your friendly soul, and then it, spawns on your opponent's side. But then, like once that's done, you know that cadence, right? You know where it's going to be,
Yep.
so you can kind of adjust for that. Where if it's just, hey, it's any of these 5 points on the map, and we're going to randomize it every time a soul spawns, that feels slightly too random.
Yeah, I'll be honest. Like I get the idea behind it. I understand it. It's definitely not one of my favorite maps personally, because like you said, I think it has too much randomness to it myself. I also noticed that, like, I did some counting on it just looking at it. There are points where you can sit there and you can still Bogart 2 soul pits with 1 soul gazer. And I'm like, you know?
Mean, it's kind of predictable positioning at that point, but yeah, I
Yeah.
see what you're saying. It's that, like, if you can cover 2 of the 5, then you can minimize the random. So, and I
Yeah.
think maybe I just gotta try a game on it and
Yeah, I'm
see,
not gonna make any like final judgments till I
but it
play a game on
does.
it, but
Yeah, it does feel a bit too random, and maybe I'm incorrect, but the yard because you already have randomness where it starts with and what monsters. But I'm actually intrigued to see some more like limited spawn monster pits.
yeah.
But then I guess
Well,
that takes
and
away from
that's
like the like not like I like that there's not a lot of exceptions to the rules in Judgment, right? Mm-hmm. So like, but if you just said, hey, this is just always a tier one,
yeah,
like, okay, then it's just Gloom, and then I think Algorath was planned to be a tier one monster when he comes.
Well, and that's one of the things I liked about the map that GD made, was that he's got the 2 1-3s.
Mm-hmm.
But then on the right, he's got that tier four, so you always know it's a tier four.
Yeah.
And on the left, it's a tier three or four. So it's like, okay, cool. That means it's going to be an Inferno, a Terra, or a Canuck. Done. You at least know those are what those are. And then the only two you have to plan around a little bit of randomness are the two that are easily accessible.
Yeah, I don't know if a midline one is overly impactful to be that. Like, I don't hate that to, like, okay, it's not going to be Vajasha, it's not going to be Gloom. Because a Gloom on that far away,
well,
isn't going to have huge impact unless you're...
It's right funny you should mention that. Because the way that it ended up making it to where the game ended last night,
yeah,
it spawned an Inferno in, like, round 3 or... or no, it was still the original Inferno because he took time walking over. But the Inferno ended up walking to his effigy because he misplaced, like, he took Zyvera and walked her away.
Yeah, because that monster is kind of close to the effigy.
Well, and so is the other one on the other side. But it walked and it threw a fireball into his effigy to where I was able to, with first turn, walk and harvest a soul with Misuzi to end the game.
Yeah, monsters attacking effigies is kind of a funky thing. We haven't seen it happen a whole lot, but it's definitely in V2 a very real possibility.
Yep. So, well, that's a little bit of, you know, chat ahead of time on the maps and stuff like that. So mm-hmm. That was cool to get that in real quick. But obviously, Wonky, we have a jam-packed episode for everyone tonight about some fun league and... leagues and stuff that are happening right now. So let's jump right into the core of the episode, which starts with Hobby Corner. All right, Wonky, I know you had terrain. I know you sent it off, right? Or you were mm-hmm. going to start working on it with your brother.
Yeah, so my brother's been working on some of it. So I actually got a couple tonight. So
nice. How's it looking?
Yeah, so it's looking good. It's very brightly colored with the mushroom stuff. He took some inspiration from some of the other people that have been posting some of it. So, yeah, it looks pretty good. I think it's like the 3 monster pits, and I think he got an obstruction basically done tonight. And then we're still planning on getting together in the near future so I can start helping with it as well. Because, you know, I should be able to, you know, slap some contrast paint on stuff.
Yeah.
So there's been progress.
I mean, we've seen like, the rare occasions where, you know, a wild Wonky Kong picks up a brush.
Yeah. The big thing is going to be, there is an insane amount of trees.
I can believe.
So like the mushrooms, I guess the mushroom stalks or whatever you want to call them.
Right.
So I do feel like there is a lot of those.
Mm-hmm.
And I still got to figure out the magnet situation.
Okay.
Which I probably need to get on this upcoming week. Because if I really want the stuff to be magnetized, I'm probably going to need to do so. Probably get a mortar pretty quick here, I would think.
That would make sense.
So, yeah, we'll need to get working on that. And then, yeah, so making progress for Warfare Weekend is still kind of the goal to have a painted table of it. I'm hoping that will be the case. If not, you know, I mean, I've got 2D terrain. If I don't get it done, you know, right now it's mostly been my brother. But
right.
If we don't get it done, I probably should say I don't want to take too much credit here. I mean, I still have, you know, like we've got the 2D terrain. I'm sure they'll in the level of 2D terrain for in the tournament kit thing. So, but it would be kind of fun to have some 3D terrain set up to kind of show it off a bit.
Yeah.
Because the mushroom stuff, like, I'm trying to debate if I like the mushroom stuff more or less than the normal stuff. I know it's been a big discussion point. I know some people hate the mushroom terrain. But I don't know. I think I kind of prefer the normal terrain a bit more.
I mean,
but
I'll be honest
like,
with you.
I don't
you.
Dislike the mushroom terrain. Like, I know some people are very against it.
I mean, I'll be honest with you. Looking at the mushroom terrain... I'm going to say what I've said from the start, which is personally, it's not really my flavor of it. And I think I prefer the original. I know I prefer the original effigies to the corrupted to the, ones and stuff like that. But I do think it's cool that the alternate is out there and that people can, you know, who want to use it, can, right?
Yeah, I'm
glad that they have those options, and it's a simple thing of, cool, get onto the tribes, get yourself, you know, registered, talk to the people on the judgment, or talk to GD and have him print it out and do all that. I like that people have the option to get that 3D terrain. I know I prefer, there's a reason why I ordered two sets of the terrain sets. I want that original style terrain. So... Well, that's good to hear that the terrain is coming along, though, that your brother has got, you know, progress on it going. And obviously, he's coming to Warfare with you, right?
Yeah, he'll be there, you know, assuming he doesn't test positive for COVID the morning of again.
Yeah, God, that, oh, that sucked.
that kind of sucked.
So, well, all right.
And you had the, like, the Warcry stuff you were working on, right? So has that been wrapped up?
So I am probably 2 hours out on it. Okay. It's literally cleaning up, like, trim work and just making sure that everything looks good along those edges and stuff. And that's, I think, all I've got left to do on it is finish up that trim work on two of the big pieces and then, like, the, I don't know, it's, like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 7, 9 It's like 10 pieces of sluice.
Okay.
Because it's like this whole sluice gate line that you can run.
Yeah.
And so I've got just a little bit of gold trim work to do on all those. And then the dirt on the areas that actually have, you know, like dirt, black soot, whatever, which will be super easy. And then, yeah, it should be done and wrapped up. Which
nice, and then bonus you can, yeah, then you can start working on your Warfare Weekend warband.
Yeah, well, I'm still trying to figure out which one I'm bringing. Only a month out, you know.
And then you'll change it last minute, anyways.
No, I won't. No, actually, I got to play, like I said, that game with GD last night, and he actually asked, he's like, so are we going to play our, you know, your fantasy draft league so you can get a practice with that? Or I was like, nope, I'm going to play a, one of my possible options for Warfare Weekend so I can start getting reps in with that. So.
Yeah, I mean, getting practice with the fantasy draft seems kind of, it's like such a random assortment of stuff that, like, is it really valuable, I guess, to play if you have limited game time to
but,
get that? So.
Yep. But yeah, that's what's on my painting hobby project. Hopefully I can get that knocked out, by the end of this week for me. And if I can get that done, then like you said, I can move into my Warfare Weekend warband, which I found my Isabel who I was looking for. She had gone on a walkabout and she showed back up the other night.
Okay.
So that's good.
Yeah, that's good. Wouldn't want to.
And I got my confirmation in my email today that my 54 of Isabel and Saiyan and my Maltique should be on their way.
Oh, okay.
So Coonerbus also got his, so people should start looking out for those.
Yeah, I think they were, what was it? I think Canada had shipped and US was supposed to be
starting shipping to in the, finishing.
Starting to, yeah.
Something like that. And so I saw mine tonight. While I was at work, I was like, oh, cool. It's an update. Yay. I can actually maybe have Maltique by Warfare.
Yeah. I mean, that would be, I think it would be a huge deal if like the Resin Wave was in people's hands by the time Warfare, you know, maybe obviously a little bit beforehand, but if you got the shipping notification now, I assume, you know, a week or two, depending on how it's shipped or whatever.
I'm hoping so. Well, with talk of that and Warfare and such like that, let's go right into our Judgment News. All right, Monkey, we're not even going to waste time, you know, jumping into this. Let's talk about Warfare Weekend. Obviously, we've talked a little bit about it or a bit about it in the past few podcasts.
Yeah.
But I assume you, like our last one, you'd said you needed to reach out a little bit and see what heroes were going to be. I assume you did that.
I have not. It's been a busy week for me.
No, come on. I need my answers, man.
Yeah, so I think I gotta talk with Peter, I think, about that still. Because I would like... So Yorgoth and Lorybella have been out rule-wise for a while, so, and those are included. Right. But I do feel like I need to see what may or may not be in there, you know, pre-release or whatever. So I need to follow up with that, and I just have not. So I don't have an update on that yet. So, but Lorybella and Yorgoth will be good. They've been out, and rules have been out and available for them for quite a while. I think we're like 2 months in on them now, I think.
Three months? I think so.
It's got to be at least three because I used them in the one Sudsman Day thing, which was, or was it August? No, it was August. So, so those are definitely going to be illegal. And then I looked at, I know we did a cursory look at the release schedule in last podcast. But yeah, my goal would be is if models for them are at Warfare Weekend, they will be usable for Warfare Weekend.
Well, see, and that's what concerns me, is because if you look at their schedule, Yorgoth and Lori and Styx don't hit until the last week of November / first week of January.
Yeah, so like I said, I think what I need to do is probably confirm with Peter. Mm-hmm. So at this point, Lorybella and Yorgoth will be legal, as they have been out, you know, the rules have been out in the wild for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'll need to confirm again. I'll have to confirm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
like I said, I'm just curious mainly about Styx because I mean, you know me, I got my V1.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not the only one. So
I'm well aware.
So yeah, I need to follow up with that. Well, so
it's good to know that we haven't had any other progress about that. Yep. But I know the document is posted at least for
The rules doc is out with what maps we're using. We're using the pre-teleporter versions of the Vassal maps.
Okay.
The ones that are still in Halls of Eternal Champion. We still have room. It looks like we picked up a couple of people in both events.
Nice.
So we're up to 9 people for threes, and we're up to 11 people for fives. So we still do have plenty of room if people still are trying to get into the events. Again, for Warfare Weekend, you don't have to pay. I think the only thing you pay for Warfare Weekend is your badge and mm-hmm. hobby classes, I believe. You do have to pay for those. So, yeah, we're getting there. I mean, we're not quite to Adepticon size, but Warfare Weekend is also a much smaller event than Adepticon.
Well, and I think it also sounds like there's, like I've been noticing in the convention channel stuff, it sounds like there's still some people who are looking to see if, you know, they can get roommates or...
Yeah, there has been a bit of that.
So. Yeah, so we could still jump up to 10 or 11 in the, you know, threes possibly. Or how many did you say we have in the fives right now?
We're up to 11 for
fives. Up to 11. So, I mean, we could even jump up to 12 or 13 possibly, depending on how that goes.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if we... It would not surprise me if we got up to, like, 16 or so.
Yeah.
If not, a few more. Yep. Depending on, you know, how people are doing other events. Maybe they want to... you know, not play whatever Saturday event they originally were planning on. That's something that's always kind of weird with Warfare because it's not, like, you're not paying for an event.
Mm-hmm.
So it feels pretty easy to, like, well, I did sign up for this one.
But I want to go
make sure
this.
I had space, but I'm going to go do this instead. Or, you know.
Well, I mean, that's like me, right? There's a painting class I want to take on Friday.
Yeah.
And it's later in the afternoon, so it's like, well... if we go to four, end up possibly even five rounds, it's like, well, after round three, I may be going, cool, I'm out.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but we're looking at pretty good size for the event, so I'm pretty happy about that.
Good.
So, yeah, Warfare Weekend. Good.
I'm
coming
looking forward
up,
to...
First weekend in November for those. I think we forgot to mention the dates.
We did.
I think it's like the...
I think it's always... It always seems to be like it's the 3rd through the 5th or...
Yeah, it's always that first weekend in November. So yeah, it is the 3rd through the 5th this year.
Yep.
Yeah.
So that's good. So there you go. November 3rd through the 5th. So we are legitimately a month out from the end of it.
Yeah. So it's coming up quick.
Yeah, and that's going to be exciting to obviously get back and, you know, see you in person again. Always love doing that. Yeah. And seeing everybody else. So, all right. Well, I think that's going to cover it for our judgment news section. So we're going to get right into Enter the Dojo. And we are going to talk about the Judgment Fantasy League that is going on. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Mulga had this crazy idea, which obviously Robbie has done in the past, but had a crazy idea to, it's football season, it's sports ball season, whatever you follow. And they always do fantasy draft leagues and stuff like that. I take part in one, not that I pay attention much to it.
Yeah.
I do it so I can talk about it with a buddy of mine. And Mulga had the idea of, well, let's do one for Judgment. And I know Robbie had already drafted up the rules for it initially.
Yeah, they did. They did like a four-person one.
Yeah.
I think last year is where they took a lot of the rules from.
Yeah. Like I said, Robbie, which thank you, Robbie, for getting those rules written up initially. Thank you, Mulga, for organizing this one. Even getting my, you know, face pounded into the dirt in the first round by Robbie was still a fun experience with this, seeing drafts and waivers and all that. But yeah, this time it was an 8-man league, so we had double the hero pool, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah, I think one of the fun things a little bit about fantasy football is the fact that, like, if you have a good player, other people don't have it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what could have been interesting was to, and that's why I think the big thing with the first one was, is that's why it was four people, mm-hmm. was because of the hero pool size.
Yeah.
So I think that would have been kind of more interesting if you, like, somehow split it into the pods or something and then done it that way,
mm-hmm.
versus doing, you know, twice the hero. I don't know.
Well, that's what I honestly thought they were going to do initially when they were like looking for eight people, was I thought they were going to do
two pods of four players. Or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I thought they were going to do. And they're like, nope, we're doing it as a pod of eight and double the hero. Oh,
yeah. And okay. I guess it's functionally the same, but it has a little bit, it feels, because, like, you know, one of the things when you draft, right, like fantasy football, so I've been doing that for a while, is like you can kind of draft to deny people a little bit, or yeah. like oh, I got this really sweet player, no one else can get that person, where
right.
when there's a second of it, it feels a little like less, I guess, mm-hmm. from that scenario. So that's definitely I don't hate it, because it's also nice to, you're not separating into a pot of four. How do you determine the pot of four?
Right.
Like, you know, but yeah. it would be a fun way to expand it out to be bigger, is if you did pods of four.
Yeah.
And then as many pods of four as you had, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And then play each person in your pod once or twice or something. And then do like a playoffs, like normal football.
Yeah, exactly.
Of, like, okay, you're in the whatever division. And then do, you know, the top two from each division or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so let's talk about this. Overall, let's get into the actual, you know, per se meat and potatoes of it all.
Yeah.
And how it actually worked. So if you're not familiar with how a draft works or anything like that, basically each player signs up, and then the day of the draft, basically, like, I think usually it's like an hour beforehand, your draft order is determined. And basically that is, obviously, one player is first in line, one player is last in line, and everybody else fills in the slots in between. And so with these, it's all done in a snake draft, which what that means is you start with number one, you go to, in this case, number eight. Each person gets one pick. Then number eight starts it again, gets a second pick. And then we go backwards from eight to one. And it's funny because there's always a lot of talk about drafting and doing these snake drafts and stuff. And I'm curious about your concept on this, Wonky. But a couple of my buddies who really get big into the fantasy football stuff, right? they always told me that, like, if you're doing a 10-person draft league or 12 people or whatever it is, right, that sweet spot is always being, like, right in the middle at pole number 5 or 6, or in this case, like, 4 or 5.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
Okay, see, that's what I was wondering, because, like, so I get the concept of it, because the fact of you have only, like, 3 or 4 people before you and then 3 people after you.
The idea around that mentality, so I've been doing fantasy football for a while. And the mentality about that, if you're in the middle, is you're just picking very consistently, right? So you're, it's like, okay, it's always a consistent number of people picking.
Right.
So, like, because I do, like, my fantasy draft is 10 people.
Okay.
And so, right, so being in the number one position, like, fantasy football can be strong if there's a very obvious first pick. Right. So this year, I think it was, you know, Christian McCaffrey was up there for people, football people, right? Because he's a very good player. He touches the football a whole lot, and he's on a very good offense, and he's still a running back. So even when their defense, which is good, puts him ahead, he'll be in what they call positive game script. You're always, the football always has a chance to go to Christian McCaffrey. Whether they're down, they use him in to throw to. Whether they're up, they use him to run. It's just nature of what he is. So I think he was a pretty big consensus first round pick.
Okay.
Or number one overall pick. And then, you know, as you kind of go down the list, right, you still, you know, in your first round, you're going for, like, what is the surest bet, obviously.
Right.
But what, and I think what's good about five sometimes is, like, if something is overhyped, people can pick it before you. But the thing, and it's consistent, right? So it's, if you're, you know, that, you know, position 4 through position 6, you're pretty consistent with the people between you. Now, I know people that like to draft where they are either, like, on, you know, the turn, as you would call it, because you get back-to-back picks.
Right. The
and that can be very strong.
Position 8 or 10.
Yeah. But granted, if you have back-to-back picks, right, so we'll take position 10.
Right.
So you'd get the 10th, and then you'd get the 11th pick. But then you're not picking again for another, was it 19 picks? So, like, but, you know, you assume that you get two guys that are quality at that position, you know, that you're picking at. And then, you know, so instead of getting, like, a super, super top tier of one thing and then getting, you know, because, like, if you pick number one, you don't get another pick till pick 20.
Right.
So you get that Christian McCaffrey, but you don't get that other guy, you know, someone else, like, a lot of stuff has fallen off by it comes back to you. Right. And that's why some people don't like it. But then you also get pick 21, right? So you get that top tier guy, and then, yeah, you kind of miss out on some of the other, you know, high quality players, but then you get that wraparound.
You get that pick 21 and pick 20.
Yep. Yeah, you get 20 and then 21, so you get to grab two things right away. So there's, I think some of it comes down to preference. I don't know if there's actually been, because, like, fantasy football is also a little bit weird from the perspective that, like, at the end of the day, it's essentially, like, it's luck.
Yeah.
You can put yourself in the best possible position by the players you pick, but even then, you're just playing the odds of, okay, again, I'll go to Christian McCaffrey because we've been kind of throwing the name around.
Yeah.
So, sure. Christian McCaffrey could just have a shit day, right? You could, you know, for some reason, 49ers were getting blown out by somebody, which, okay, rare, but could happen. They're a pretty stacked roster at the moment in the NFL. And, like, or, you know, or, like, an injury happens. So we'll take myself, well, a little personal aside of my fantasy football journey this year. So, like, I drafted Eckler from the Chargers.
Yeah.
I think I was, like, the number 3 pick or number – I was, like, number 3 or number 4. And Eckler, who put up in just a ridiculous amount of touchdowns last year and touched the ball a lot for the Chargers. Really good player. Got hurt in week 2. So – and I haven't had him from week – or did he get hurt week 1? Anyways, I have not. I think I got him. I got a full game out of him in week 1, where he did very well, and then I have not had him since. So
right.
I've now in. They're on bye week now, and he's supposedly coming back after the bye week. So, like, Eckler is a good pick at the pick position I picked him at. He, you know, playing probabilities, playing, you know, looking at all this kind of stuff. Like, it's a consensus pretty good pick I took at, you know, pick three. But yeah, then he got hurt. So that's why I think it's kind of hard to, like, yeah, your draft position, you can correlate to, like, how you finish in your league.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff that happens after the draft.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't think it's anything about correlating where you finish at the league, because obviously there's a lot of games that go on in between, and those players can get injured and not.
Yeah.
But I think, and I personally think there's a lot of, you know, superstitions hokum.
100%, yeah.
Around that whole, oh, if you're in this position, it's this. If you're in this position, it's this. Now, I will say, in this league, I do think with having, you know, even the double hero pool, right?
Mm-hmm.
Gamer Dad had first pick. And I think he actually brought up a very valid point for him in this league.
Yeah.
That his pick had to be a strong pick out the gate. Because, like you said, he's not getting another pick until pick 16.
Yeah, pick 17, I'm looking at the thing. Because remember, you only had eight.
Right, so. Or yeah, sorry, so pick 17.
Or no, it is 16. Yeah, it's 16 because there's the header room. But yeah,
right,
so.
Right, yeah, so, yep. Okay, so yeah, pick 16, pick 17 he got. And what's funny to me is that it's, like you said, right, it's that whole, well, you have to make, like, he's making a strong pick. But then you also don't know how everybody else is going to pick.
Yeah, and especially in something like this, right? So, like, fantasy football.
Everybody's gunning for one player.
Yeah, it's... So, I guess, in, you know, obviously in Judgment, you have a bit of, like, roles, right?
Right.
But it's not like fantasy football where it is, you know, I have to have a quarterback, two wide receivers, two running backs, a flex, right. A kicker, a defense, a tight end, like...
You have some restrictions lifted.
Correct. And granted, you have some of that, right? Because most people like to play with the defender or two defenders. You kind of need damage dealers. But when the pool is, depending on in, like, how big the pool is, that can feel either not a big deal or could be.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, when you're doubling the pool and looking at your numbers, there's what? 4, 9, 11, 14. So you have, like, 16 players that are available in your, like, waiver wire, essentially.
Yeah.
So that gives you some options. But depending on, you know, what some of those options are, people aren't clearly a fan of them. So, like, you know, I see a lot of Skulls out there.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of Ashels out there.
Yep.
Cradle.
Yep.
Gendrys, Zyvera.
You know,
they're
I
all ones that there's a bunch sitting out there.
It's funny because Mulga made a mention of this the other like a few days ago or last week in the fantasy deal, and he was like, you know, I gotta give it to Fabius and Wonky for picking the worst Warband challenge setup, because they're all here.
So the draft's a very important part, but I feel like the way that the rules are set up in this is you have to so essentially the structure tends to go, you have a draft.
Yep.
And then after the draft, there's like a waiver period in between games. And then you can also trade with other people, right?
Yep.
So the draft kind of sets your initial team, or warband in this case. Your waivers are that in-between area. And then if you want to do some trades,
right?
Which, however, if there's anything like...
Well, go ahead.
If any trades actually happened?
Yes, actually. There have been several trades that have happened.
Nice.
But... there's also the fact that, unlike fantasy football, where you don't have to drop people or anything like that, one of the things that we have done for this league is that after you are done playing your game, you get to immune three of your models, right? So effectively three of your team members. And then you have to put the other four on a randomized number of 1 through 4, and then you have to roll a die. And one of them drops, and that drop is effectively them getting injured. What was really kind of funny was, like, this last week, just this most recent week when Mulga and Robbie played their game, they both, I think it was one of them banned Thorgar, one of them banned Cruel. And those are the two models who got injured and dropped out of their warband. And so, like, I made a joke of it because I was like, oh, look, Thorgar and Cruel enter the pool. This is funny. And Robbie goes, yeah, both of them got banned, so I'm not sure how they got injured.
Yeah, I think Yeah, so it's, I think the idea was to make people have to shift their warband a bit. So obviously that's a bit of a different scenario than fantasy football, because you don't have to drop players or pick people up.
Correct. But I think it's important to note here with this one, right? Because like you said, it forces the change, and also it forces part of that waiver wire decision.
Yeah, so yeah, let's start at kind of the beginning here and talk a bit about your draft. I think the draft for, you know, fantasy football and this, and even this is like one of the more interesting parts of it, is the, you know, how people go after these things.
Sure.
Like what they, you know, what your mentality is, what your targets are, some of that. Now, obviously, there hasn't been a whole lot of these kind of drafts. I mean, we've talked about drafting for a game, which is very different.
Right.
When you go head-to-head and do a draft, which is still a very, very fun way to play the game.
Yes.
That I would like to see. I mean, we haven't really seen a whole lot for a while, but yeah, so now we kind of talked a bit about the draft. So what draft position did you end up getting?
So I ended up with draft position 5. Okay. So that's right in the middle. Butter spot.
Yeah, supposedly.
Yeah,
so we'll see how that ended up working out for you.
Oh, well, see, that would be a butter spot for somebody who has a draft strategy in mind.
Okay.
My draft strategy, even in my standard fantasy football league, is chaos.
It's chaos?
Pure, okay. Unadulterated chaos.
All right. I mean, usually coming in with some semblance of a strategy, like, I try to, for fantasy football, like, I usually do a little bit of research. And like, hey, these are some of the targets I kind of want to grab.
Mm-hmm.
I usually try and find, you know, a couple in the middle rounds, a couple in the late rounds. And then like the league I play in does a keeper.
Yep.
Where if you draft a guy, you have him on your team the whole year and you keep him, like you have him on your team the whole year. Next year, you can draft that, like auto draft them.
Yep.
Add 2 rounds before the round you drafted them in. So that means, like, in the late couple rounds of the draft, you'll throw a few darts. Like, okay, you know,
I'll grab this rookie dude and that dude.
Yeah, and then if any of them stick and become decent, if you hold on to them, like those that are familiar with football, one of my buddies drafted Arian Foster in, like, the 14th round his rookie year. For those that don't know, Arian Foster went on to be, like, the highest scoring fantasy player like every year for the next like 4 years or whatever it was. It was ridiculous. So he got him in the 14th. Then the next draft, he got him in the 12th when he was like a top 5 overall pick, but he's getting him in the the 12th round instead of the first round. So he can draft another good player in the first round. It was wild. It was a wild time.
That's insane.
There were some pretty good keepers in our league this year. So that obviously changes your draft strategy too. Yeah. If you know you have a very strong thing, you know you get,
yep,
or going to get. So, and then obviously something that I see very quickly happened in here is you draft, something that tends to come up in fantasy football is you draft positions that are shallow.
Yeah.
So, typically running backs are a position in the NFL right now that are considered kind of shallow.
Yep.
Because there are probably 8 to 10 guys that are really good. They get very, very consistent usage. And then everyone beyond that is a bit more of a role player. And what's interesting when I see from this draft is that's kind of what the defenders felt like.
Very much so.
Judging by your first like 2 rounds, a lot of defenders got drafted.
Yes.
Very quickly.
Very
so,
quickly.
But yeah.
I know, like, when I went into this, right, you talk about having some key players in mind, right?
Yep.
And I looked at the initial pool of models that could be taken, and I was like, okay, I want a strong defender. That was one of my first thoughts, is I want a strong defender. I'm happy with a Donnie, a Lug Drug, or a Marcus, right?
Okay.
Don't get me wrong, I like Thrommel, but sometimes his 2-action hammer can be very limiting at times.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, I'm really happy if I get one of these 3. Well, I had position 5, like I said, and I watched as a tank was taken first, and then two damage dealers and then a tank again, right? Or a defender. And what was funny is Gamer Dad grabbed Donnie right away, which, considering he's top pick, I actually 100% think that was a great grab for him. Simply because he nets one of the best defenders in the game, in my opinion. And so when I saw Marcus go right before my choice and no other defender went, I was like, cool, here's my chance to nab my Donnie that I want. And so I did. I nabbed Donnie right away as my first pick. And with having the ability to immune three, I basically never have to worry about Donnie disappearing.
Yeah.
Because he's going to be in my immunity every time.
Okay.
At least that's where I'm at the moment. Now, we'll see. I may go for some crazy ideas and throw some Hail Marys in the future here. But but that's where I went right away, was I want to grab that solid defender that I know is good. Unfortunately, it meant I didn't get a second one, because a lot of them disappeared after that. Like you
said. It looks like, Marcus got drafted, Lugdrug, Thrommel. I mean, you could have grabbed a Lugdrug or a Thrommel if you wanted one of the more tanky defenders. But yeah, Marcus was gone at that point.
Yeah, and
you took the second down.
I made a mistake in my second draft choice and grabbed Kane, because initially my thought was...
one feels a little weird looking
at it. It was weird. And initially it was actually, I was thinking about trying to go a little more towards the Tomas side, because Tomas is a warband I like.
Yep.
And I understand. And so I was like, well, let me grab Kane. Kane's a solid monster dealer. He can do it all, right? He's a nice all-arounder, except for defending. And so that's why I grabbed Kane as my second. And as soon as I grabbed Kane as my second, realizing that both Rakirs were gone, I was like, wow.
And you didn't grab the Fazil.
And I didn't grab the Fazil. And I was just like,
so if you really want to
play
the class, then,
Like, as soon as I did it, I was like, why? Oh, God, what did I do?
Yeah, both Rakirs went right before your pick, so... So the Kane one did feel, I was kind of looking at your draft a little bit.
Oh, my draft was horrible. But like I said, pure unadulterated
chaos. For reference, the other Kane was taken with pick 46. So you might've had a little bit of time.
Oh, I had a bit of time. Like I said, I made a poor, I suck at drafts. Okay. That's why I also don't do trades and stuff, because realistically, I don't know what's worth offering somebody for something else.
Yeah.
So I don't, like, even in my fantasy league, right? I just grab players off the waiver wire, drop players as I need to, rotate things in and out. I don't tend to do trades. And it's funny watching everybody else. I'll see trades going on between other teams. And I'm just like, okay, I don't know. I don't have a clue what these guys are worth. And even the judgment, it's like, I don't know. Cool. If they're there, they're there.
Yeah, I mean, I guess for this, it's a little bit different, right? Because you're probably trading one hero for one hero. And it's more like, okay, I don't want to play this guy anymore, so I will get rid of them to get this thing I want.
Yep.
Right? So trades seem a lot more reasonable, where fantasy trades always get weird, because it's like, okay, I'm trying to rip
one guy,
I'm trying
for
to rip
three.
The other guy off. Yeah, I'm trying to rip the other, trying to get this for that. And I can see in fantasy, like, and then people don't want to do trades because they always think like they're the one getting screwed by it or something.
Yeah. And that's the thing, right, is you just, at this point, especially with the judgment one, like I told people in this, I was like, guys, I'm open to trades, but because a lot of the times my games and the waiver wire and all that stuff is happening while I'm at work, if you guys want to trade with me, you have to ping me and then give me time to respond. You can't just, you know, because like I say, I work a schedule that doesn't allow me to do it when a lot of other people are off. So I need people to be patient. And unfortunately, trades don't tend to go that way. People want what they want, right?
Yeah.
And so it is what it is, but like this last, or so anyway. But yeah, so it was funny to watch, like I saw Donnie go first. I grabbed the Donnie, so he was gone already. Then watch at the end of the round, basically, or the start of the snake back up, watch both Rakirs go. And grabbing Kane, I was just like, yeah, that's... it felt right at the time, and as soon as I drafted it and solided it in, I was like, that was a mistake, and I'm a dummy.
Yeah.
You know, and then watching, because there was also still a Drogoth in the pool that I could have grabbed.
I mean, there's a lot of things in the
pool. Yeah, there were a lot of other things in the pool that I could have
grabbed.
I mean,
they're literally both Drogoths were in the pool at that point.
Exactly.
Another Drogoth didn't get banned or picked till after you.
Yep.
I mean, you had, the only thing you could not have drafted was Marcus or Rakir, it looks like.
Yeah.
It was the only thing. So you had the world in front of you, Fabius, and you picked a Kane.
Yeah, well, hey, Kane's my boy. You stay off my Kane.
No, I know. But it is just, it is kind of interesting, right? Especially because, like, the next one's taken for, like, 40-some picks after, or 30-some picks after you. So it's like, so that's one of those ones where, like, you can look at draft and be like, yeah, that's definitely something you might have been able to wait on.
You know, I don't think Kane gets the respect he deserves, damn it.
I think Kane's good. I don't know if I was in this,
this
kind
is
of
not a
format.
Hill I'm going to die on.
Yeah, I see that. So, okay.
No,
so
you are 100%
Kane,
right.
So you have Dondragar and Kane.
Yep.
Your third round comes around.
My third round comes around, and yep. I go ahead and I grab Misuzi.
Okay.
So
this was the second Misuzi taken, because someone grabbed one right in front of you.
Yep.
But yeah, Misuzi, if your plan's to play Tomas, very, very strong piece in Tomas with diamond armor on him. He's pretty annoying.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you a Soul Gazer, which ain't bad to have.
Yep.
Yeah, and it's Misuzi.
And he plays into the other god that I have found myself playing more and more and more lately, which is Torin.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, that's
damn,
definitely
I hate myself for saying that. But anyway, at least it's not Gruul.
That's fine.
Just at you.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so yeah, Misuzi, so you got a defender, you've got, like, a good utility piece of Kane, you got a Soul Gazer.
Yep.
And then you finally decide to go some damage, around four.
So round four, I went and drafted Yorgoth, and I honestly had an early hope that I might be able to when I was looking, like, I saw Tony and Robbie draft Rakir.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping maybe that I could grab something, maybe to trade to one of them for Rakir.
Okay. Interesting.
And Yorgoth is not a bad choice for that.
Okay.
And then trades never happened. Like, the first round, trades never happened. Nobody talked about trades or anything.
Yeah.
And that was fine. But I wanted to play with Yorgoth again, and because he's new, I want to get used to him. I want to see what he can do. You know, and so I was like, well, let's grab Yorgoth. He gives me some Shadow Orb fun play. He's 2 hex. He's still mean if he gets to level 2. And you and I both watched him do some work, but we've also watched him fall flat on his damn face.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, not like, he's a pretty good focal point of a damage dealer.
Yep.
A little bit interesting. He's not in Tomas or Torin, if that was kind of your plan.
Oh yeah, no, he's not.
So there were some other options you could have maybe went instead if that's what you were looking at.
Yeah. And I know he's not in those, but like, and my first round with the way that my draft ended up, I actually had thought about going Gruul.
Okay.
But after having such a bad taste in my mouth about Gruul after the league, I was just like, no. I'm not doing this.
I mean,
I'll
spoiler,
go play.
Your warband does look kind of pretty solid, Gruul warband.
Oh yeah, it does.
By the end of it, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you get your Yorgoth.
Yep.
And then next round, what'd you grab?
Next round, I grabbed a Zim.
Okay.
So some more damage, trying to do some frost, maybe to reduce some damage.
It gives you some. He's got some good value in Tomas and in Torin, so he kind of
fits
a
that.
A little bit of that plan comes back into play.
Yep. Yep, and then we move down into the next pick, and I was able to grab a Thorgar.
It feels pretty late for a Thorgar to be hanging
It
around.
Really does, and like, when I saw that, I was honestly hoping that maybe with me grabbing that Thorgar, he'd be another one that I could trade bait away, right?
Yeah.
Now, spoiler alert, I ended up dropping him anyway in the next round of waivers and stuff like that. But that's because I wanted to get more of a warband that I felt that I knew how to play and wanted to play.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then I grabbed that Thorgar, and then for my last pick, I ended up grabbing Lori.
I'm a little surprised there was a Lori hanging around that late.
So was I, which is why when it came back around to me and I looked and I saw her, I was like, well, I have Yorgoth, I have Thorgar, and I have Dani.
I mean, I guess with no one playing, so no one played Gruul week one and only two Ista players, so maybe...
Yeah.
Maybe that was some of it, but man, she just feels pretty strong that I'm a little surprised. And maybe that's, a bit of that's me, because I just freaking love Lori Bell.
Well,
I'm a little surprised that she was around that late.
I think a lot of it is also some of the guys in here. Not all of them, right? But a couple of the guys in here maybe hadn't seen her in action yet. As you and I both have used and abused her hand grenade on multiples.
Most of these people I've seen play.
I don't know. I'm not saying, yeah. But I know that there are a couple of newer guys into this. So I was really surprised she was still hanging around. But when I was like, well, I have Dani, Yorgoth, and Thorgar, who all benefit from Lori.
Yeah, some extra elixir.
Why the hell wouldn't I do this?
Yeah, she seems pretty good.
Not to mention my list as a whole. Overall,
doesn't really want a whole lot of fate either.
Right, it's fate light. So yeah, okay. That's so my warband ended up being Dani, Kane, Masuzi, Yorgoth, Zim, Thorgar, Lori.
Yeah, it seems pretty solid.
Yeah, it was definitely a pretty solid warband. Like just on paper, looking at it, working at it. Like this is one that I honestly would consider running again at some point.
Okay.
Minus a couple, like trade out Kane.
Yeah.
Probably trade out.
Kane's pretty good in Tomas, but yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like with what I've got set up here, I'd probably trade out Kane, for something that maybe an Ankura.
Okay.
As weird as that sounds, but it gives me the bell. It gives me. Some weakening blow, you know, stuff. It gives me a little bit more synergy, and both are good in Tomas and Torin.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I was not disappointed. Week one, so at this point we are now into week four of the league.
Okay.
And they introduced another rule, which was very interesting to me. Which was the God change rule.
Yeah, so this was one that I think's a little bit funky. I get why trying to do it, but yeah.
Yeah, I get why they're trying to do it, but it's definitely funky to me as well. I don't hate it or anything like that. I just, it's definitely an interesting thing to do, right? And what that is basically if you don't switch your God in between weeks, you automatically give up the priority rule.
Yeah.
And so like week one, obviously everybody still rolled for priority. Week two, I ended up playing Molga and he played Torin in both week one and week two.
Yeah.
And so he ended up giving up priority to me. And then let's see, So we're in week three then. Sorry.
Yeah. Week three.
And this Sunday I get to play John, who I'm not sure, but I would assume with the way that he's kind of set up, he's probably going to go Tomas.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because he seems to be going Tomas in
know.
General.
Yeah, looking at his warband, I don't know why. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's been interesting to see some of these games played. Like, Robbie week one is who I played, and he played Krognar, played it very well. I made a couple stupid mistakes, and got punished for them. Like my biggest one was I cut with Kane and did not take the 2 health off of the Inferno.
Oh,
like a dumbass. So my Yorgoth ended up charging in, getting the crit like he needed to kill it. But because I didn't take the 2 damage off, I left it at 1. And it smacked me, lit me on fire with a crit. So then I had to get the kill with Lori.
Okay.
which sucked and was not what I wanted to do. But, you know, it was kind of funny watching me belly flop against Robbie and have to... So then from week one, I immuned Donnie, Masuzi, and Yorgath.
Okay. And I put that's Zim, pretty good core.
Right. And I put Zim, Thorgar, Lori, and Kane on the chopping block. Well, lo and behold, I rolled and Kane went away to the drop pool, which yep. The interesting thing about the drop pool is when you drop them, they are injured. They go into a reserve. Nobody can pick them.
Okay.
And the other thing that they have done with this is that even if, say, somebody else had Kane, right, and they drop mm-hmm. Kane in the waiver pool,
yep,
I can't pick Kane back up.
Okay.
Because my Kane was injured. Yeah, it's something I was kind of, like, I'll be honest, this last week it kind of frustrated me.
Okay.
Because I was forced to drop Yorgath this week.
And there's a Yorgath hanging out there and you couldn't take him?
Yeah, literally a Yorgath got done through trades and then got dropped into the waiver pool and I couldn't take him because mine had gotten injured.
Yeah, that's a little funky. I think they're trying, like, I get that they're trying to make people play different stuff because mm-hmm. they don't want you to probably play like the same exact thing for the whole league, which is fine.
Right.
But yeah, that one, I'm like, that rule seems a little strange. It's like, okay, if there's an extra copy of that hero and no one wants to take it, you should be able to grab it again.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, and some of that's a preference thing.
Yeah.
Like, so I could see why.
But like, yeah, I said, it frustrated me a little bit, but I was like, okay, I guess he's out there, whatever, right? So then week two, like I said, I played Mulga. And Mulga and I had an interesting game. I mean, he came out of the gate swinging.
And then they added the released heroes too, it looks like, right?
They added the
Svetlana.
So yeah, in between weeks one and week two, we added, we voted, and we all decided to add the new heroes that were just released
mm-hmm.
On the Discord. And so what was really interesting with that is I ended up, so Kane got forcibly dropped.
Yep.
I dropped Zim naturally and I dropped Thorgar.
Okay.
In the process of doing that, I ended up picking up Styx, Abathos, and Zafin.
Okay.
And I gotta say, I missed that damn little dwarf.
Yeah.
God, I missed him.
Oh, Zafin?
Zafin.
Yeah, Zafin with Styx can be kind of fun, or if you had Sharn as well.
Yep.
So what was the Abathos seems a little bit funky in those pickups. You just wanted to play around with them, or what was the...
So the Abathos in that is, I'm trying to think big brain here.
Okay.
And go long game.
Okay.
Because they, with them introducing Nephany.
Okay.
My thought was eventually Nephany is going to get dropped, and depending on where I'm at in the waiver pool.
Yeah, you can grab.
I may be able to grab her, and then if I have Abathos and Nephany together.
Okay.
I can try to get my Laser Storm combo off that I want to.
Just trade Styx for Nephany.
I actually was trying to do that. Believe it or not. I was really trying to do that, and the guy who was going to trade me that ended up keeping her because he's still staying in Ista.
I mean, there is a Nephany in your waiver pool.
Currently, right, which supposedly. Is why I made the joke earlier this week when we were all talking in the waiver pool.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, got it. Just got to throw my game against John, so I lose and I drop down into like the number two spot.
Yeah, I mean, you played your week two matchup.
Yep, so I played my week two matchup with Mulga, which was a great game. Mulga came out the gates, like I said, and tried to do like a full court press on me, and basically started shoving a Thorgar into my face, lining up for an effigy kill on turn two.
Oh, geez, okay.
Yeah, like... He was full court pressing into my backfield right away. And I kind of folded back in on that. And I was able to pull his Thorgar into a position where my Zaffin was able to basically punish it. He was still able to get it out and save it for a couple turns. But it turned into I got to fight on my side of the board. Mm-hmm. So anything I killed of his when it respawned was clear still across the table at that yeah. point. Which really helped. He did kill my Donnie. Which, okay. I mean, let's be real. Killing Donnie is not an easy thing to do most of the time. But
that is true. Well, he does have a stick, so you can just pull stone for him off. But yeah.
Well, and so I basically, because he had sticks and I had to let him play sticks,
mm-hmm.
I didn't worry about stone forming that much.
Yeah.
I was like, nah, we're not going to
yeah,
do that.
Yeah, if you're not stone forming that much, then he's very, very killable.
Yeah, he's definitely more killable and such. But I made him work for it. But the game ended up going in my favor. And I ended up winning because Zaffin, big man he is, walked up, shot a Thorgar, who had two souls on him, big game hunted him.
Okay.
Dropped him to zero, and Mulga had already activated his Bastion once to heal him that round.
Yep.
And so he couldn't heal him again. And so Zaffin ended up getting the killing blow with that and knocking two souls off Mulga at the same time. Ooh.
That's rough.
Yeah, so it ended up with like a 5-1, but it was much, much closer than that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and he played a hell of a game, like I said. But so then at the end of that game, I actually let Masuzi enter the draft pool, and I immuned Donnie again. Mm-hmm. And this time I kept Styx and Zaffin.
Okay.
And so when I rolled against Masuzi, Yorgoth, Lori, and Abathos. Yorgoth is the one who went. And so then this week in the draft pool, I ended up picking up Sky to replace Yorgoth because I wanted a second tank.
Okay.
And Sky fits right into that Torin.
Yep.
Torin Tomas vibe I want to play. Still, so I was like, okay, this works well. It's still in the kind of the vibe I want to play.
No, yeah, and then it looks like you get an Aria as well.
So then I ended up, I think it was, let's see, Tony. Yeah, Tony J, he wanted to, he didn't want his Aria anymore, and he really wanted a Lori so he could try to play it in Ista and see how she did. And I was like, well, you know, I need practice with Arya anyway because she's in one of my Warfare Weekend warbands. So tell you what, Tony, I'll trade.
Yeah, it's looking at your warband. So your warband for this week is Dhonrogar, Styx, Zaffin, Arya, Abathos, Masuzi, Sky.
Yeah.
And that is a funky warband.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, not, kind of an interesting one. Like, no true melee damage dealer. No, nope. Like, true jungler kind of a thing.
Nope.
Yeah, that looks a little rough to play with.
I mean, I'm looking forward to it, actually.
Yeah, it'll be different, but that's kind of an interesting warband.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping to be able to maybe see a combo setup go off where maybe I get lucky right and I can get a kill with Zaffin.
Mm-hmm.
While an enemy is within 5 of Abathos, to give him that chance to like eat that and just curse a warband again, and it's like, yeah, this is all range, baby, let's go.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the thing will be is if like Zaffin's sniping something far away, right? Then Abathos is gonna be relatively far away from that target.
Maybe,
perhaps. Yeah, I guess perhaps.
Remember, yeah, I'm like a lot of other people. I tend to play Abathos a little more.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how your monster kills go, because
I am curious as well.
Yeah,
because we are playing on your map.
Oh yeah, and there's definitely going to be monsters you got to deal with on my map.
Well, super secret tech. I'm kind of hoping I get to keep Styx.
Yeah, I mean Styx will help with that.
Because then I'm just going to be like, and Astral Split.
And I'm pretty sure. Do you guys do veto or immunity when you play?
Veto.
You know, I look at your warband and Styx is probably the first guy to go.
Well, that's fine. I mean, if Styx is, that's where I play the opposite end of that game, which is use Arya to pull you into them.
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely you have a lot of like
tech
maneuvering of enemy stuff, which is good.
Yep.
But the monster pit adjacent to the soul pit plus the tier four in the middle will definitely be an interesting scenario for you if you gotta ever have to kill, you know.
I'll just make John deal with it.
I mean he's got, ooh, I kind of like his warband.
Oh, he's got a good warband for it.
Zimf, Zeal, Lugdrag, Yorgoth, and Sky. I mean, probably playing in just Tomas again, I would assume.
Probably. And it feels
pretty. I mean, the nice part is that it does let you pick going first or second or picking table edge. In my table, my map does definitely have some advantages from picking table edge too, right? Mm-hmm. Like there is some marked, which was definitely one of the intents of that map is that it always is weird when you're like, all right, so you lose out getting to pick going first or second. You're like, okay, well I get to pick table edge. And then it's like, well, that it doesn't really matter what table edge.
Right. Pick. It's like, no, right? Both of these are about equal, so who cares?
Yeah, so I definitely made it. And I think we're seeing that a bit in some of the maps, random segue a little bit, but like a lot of them feel like there's definitely like you either kind of want a side like for one reason or another versus like, oh, does mine just have a better monster to kill?
Yeah.
Because that's, you know, part of it.
Yep.
Is like, okay, either I don't want to kill a Vajasha, or I'd rather just kill the Gloom or, you know, whatever, depending on what spawned.
Right. So. Yeah, I'm actually looking at your map now and I'm like, oh, okay, I could, yeah, there are definitely benefits to both sides.
Yep, yeah, I like that one a lot. I've been putting a lot of effort into that one, so I'm happy to see that people are liking it.
And before you give me too much shit, yes, I have been looking at a map. I just, like I said, it's still a little overwhelming at times.
It still is. Because when I started my first map, I kind of had, you know, I think we talked about it a little bit last podcast. I had the X idea of like, mm-hmm. Okay, we're going to put this stuff kind of centrally near each other. And then I originally had like extra monsters on it, and I decided against. I originally had 5 monster pits.
Oh wow!
And I'm like, yeah. So in mine, the two shrines on the edges
mm-hmm.
were originally monster pits.
Oh okay.
I was like, I started thinking. I'm like, that's just too much. Like the idea was is to have the combat be very central.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have monster pits there, then it's like this weird cat and mouse game of where you position to right. where it goes. And that wasn't kind of the intent of the map. So, right.
Makes sense.
So yeah, I swapped it to shrines and like they actually got, I wasn't sure if they were going to see a lot of play, like yeah. if people really go after them, but I guess in like Robbie's game, they went out, I think it was Robbie that mentioned it. Like both of them went after a mid shrine. In my game, the other guy kind of went for it. Like, he's like, yeah, I don't have much to do with this model. And I'm like, I'll just run over here to go grab me some fate because I kind of need it for next turn. So, like,
yeah.
So that was kind of cool with it. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I put a lot of time and effort into that one. And I'm very happy that so far the feedback's been pretty positive.
Yeah. I was going to say, everything I've heard about it has been really good so far. So that made me very happy as, you know, a co-host here sitting here going, well, you know, it's good that people are giving some of that good feedback for you to be able to make changes and such. I did make the joke with, I think it was Corey. It was either Corey or GD when they played on it. They were like, God, there's just so much terrain on this. I was like, well, of course, Wonky would make a map that favors Gruul.
Okay, so funny thing. The game I played on it, I never used my warband bonus, and I played Gruul. But partially what I did though is I moved a few things around, so like the rough terrain that's on the bottom side, I moved one hex to be adjacent to the friendly side shrine,
right,
which wasn't the case. And then I moved the forest around that one left side shrine because originally it was just nearby the shrine but not okay. adjacent. So I did tweak that, and then when I played it, I was on bottom side. So I didn't really get to use that middle forest at all because of being from, I was on the bottom side. Gotcha. Right? So, but yeah, I think having some of that's a little bit fun. I've Someone mentioned the swamp map, and now I think that's the next map I'm going to make, because I'm legit going to remake
one of the swamp maps.
Yeah, I'm going to remake a swamp map, I think, because
with
dedicated Vajasha spawns. Like, it's we're going to do...
I like it.
We're going to do it up. We're just like, I'm going to see if I can roughly take the swamp map and then just scale it bigger to the 5 size, so it might not quite be the same, but I'm going to try my best to, like... Okay, what's the terrain layout that it was here? What's some of, like, the layouts? And then, obviously, it's a 5s map, so you might have to add a little bit to it.
Right.
But, yes, there will be dedicated Vajasha spawns on it, like the old swamp map did. So, you know.
Which...
Enjoy that respawn.
Oh, yes, yes. So, one of the things I was going to bring up also, you kind of just made me think about it with talking map placement, talking, you know, how you've kind of come up with this and stuff, is you made me think about another interesting moment that I had in my game with Mulga.
Okay.
So I really just used Lori in that game to, like, push people around, blow, you know, use the hand grenade. And
that is 100% how you use it.
Cause that's exactly how you use her. Exactly. Yeah. But what was really funny is, like, at the end of the game, Mulga was talking, he's like, I think you could have probably ended the game like an activation or two or three sooner, if you'd have just pushed Thorgar down here to where Zafin could have got clear shots at him.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, but then you could have attacked with Bastion.
Mm-hmm.
You could have, I was like, you could attack with Bastion, and then still heal Thorgar.
Yeah.
And because literally all I did was I spent the entire time with, like, Yorgoth sitting there at 2 hex of Bastion, Styx, and Thorgar.
Mm-hmm.
Just whack Thorgar. Whack Bastion, whack Thorgar, whack Bastion.
Yeah.
And I basically was doing that. And the entire time I was just pushing Thorgar further and further.
Mm-hmm.
And I told him, I was like, yeah, the main reason I did that was so that way your Bastion, if you wanted to heal, it was either walk heal or planeswalker heal. And it basically forced certain activations on Bastion, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, I was controlling one of your models without even actually having the ability to control
them. Yeah, I mean, the Lori with the positioning stuff, like, I don't know. It's been really strong in pretty much every game I've played with Lori Bella. Like, I feel like I'm grenading basically every turn.
Yeah.
It is.
Well, and that's the thing, right, is if you have the fate to do it, you're going to do it.
Yeah, it's pretty, it's such a, like... There's so many different ways you can use it, and in my game on my map, I was able to push a guy off a shrine. Like, he had like an Ankura or something, and I pushed the Ankura like from the shrine, like to where the tier 4 monster in the middle would attack him.
Yep.
And I was like, okay, well, like, you were there, and now you're like 2 hexes away from a tier 4 monster. Enjoy dealing with a tier 4 monster.
Yep.
That's now your problem. So there's that kind of stuff that's really strong with it too, like pushing people off shrines.
Yep.
And eventually too, if they just group up, like,
yeah,
you know, one fate for like 6 to 9 true damage across a couple of targets is pretty good. It starts adding up.
Yeah. Well, and like, that's one of the things I was able to actually get done in that is, like, in the map we played, right, it was the central shrine. I was able to walk Lori, a couple of, like, I walked her with a dash and then her 2 and chucked a hand grenade in the middle of like 3 of his models to spread them. It was like a Barney went up 2 hexes, a Thrall went down into the left or down into the right 2 hexes, and Thorgar went down into the left 2 hexes. And it was just like, and you're all spread out now. No.
Yeah.
I am not letting you group up. Go away.
Yeah, it's just really good, and Lori Bella is so good. That's why I was very surprised that there was one.
Yeah,
like, so, and like I feel like you can fit her in a lot of warbands. Maybe she doesn't do as much in, like, you know, the gruel heavy warbands that I play, because I tend to play very, very fate light models outside of Lori.
Right.
So that, like, you know, outside of getting some items first turn, I basically funnel a lot of my fate through her. So when you're playing with a bunch of other stuff that also wants fate, it probably feels less good, I suppose.
Yep. That is very true. But yeah, so with my Warband this week and getting ready to play John. I'm interested to see how this goes. It's definitely going to be chaos. So I'm living true to my strategy and idea, which is I don't have one. but I think it'll be interesting to see if he gives me sticks. If he gives me sticks, I think this is a very interesting game, because then I have the ability to start towing Zaffin around, right?
Yeah, the towing Zaffin with sticks is pretty fun.
Well, and not just Zaffin, I could even tow Arya to allow her to allure people easier.
Yeah.
To let her use her symphonic attack easier. But yeah, I mean, I've got those people that I can basically tow around with him, and then obviously the ability to turn things off with Styx's Nullify if he's in there. I honestly don't think I'm gonna get to play with him, but I'm hoping.
Yeah, I mean, I look at your current warband and it's like he just pops out at the one to get rid of, unless you really don't want to play against the Zaffin, I suppose. Like,
yeah,
it's either you ban the Dolnragar because you just can't kill it or don't want to deal with it.
Yep.
You ban the Zaffin because if you don't have Zaffin, your damage output is like, you have like Abathos is kind of like your damage dealer at that point.
I mean, get a soul on sticks and go.
Yeah, I mean, he's still 2-3-4, so like, and you have to have a soul on him to put him up to like attack stat 7.
Mm-hmm.
But you have a lot of positioning with sticks and Arya in that case, right? So like, that's very good. But you just don't have a lot of, you know, just whacking power, I suppose.
I don't have that burst big damage. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
not
something...
not even like consistent, right? Not even like a Yorgoth consist, like it is, it's a lot of I guess Dolnragar is 2-3-5, but it's all 2-3-4 grids outside.
It's 2-3-4s, except for Masuzi's Acid Potion, which is 1-2-3.
And Dolnragar. Yeah.
Well, and Dolnragar at 2-3-5. So, but yeah, it'll definitely be interesting to see what it goes on. But I also found with playing like against Mulga, I'm also not afraid to do that walk with Zaffin and take that one shot. Whereas, like, I'll be honest, playing Ashel, I hate doing that.
I mean, it should feel roughly the same because they're very, very similar between the two of them.
It should, right? But it doesn't.
So, yeah, so that's a little strange because it's like, I mean, Zaffin's a bit better in melee than Ashel is, but like as far as like the reach of the gun's the same, the damage grid's the same. I mean, I guess you can fate for the 1d6 true damage, but that's so swingy, I almost hate doing it most of the time unless I need like, okay, a 3+ gets the kill, like something that feels likely to happen.
Yeah.
Because the last thing you want to do is spend another fate to reroll a d6.
Right. No, I'm 100% with you on that one. For me, what it is, I honestly, as weird as this is going to sound, right? I think it's the reason I don't mind doing it so much with Zaffin is because if I can get the maneuvers, I have knockdown, which enables the rest of my warband to do other things.
That's true. I mean, Bombard's pretty effective with Ashel as well, depending on positioning and stuff. But yeah, the knockdown does a bit more setup for other stuff in the warband versus.
Yeah. Well, and I think
the Ashel.
I think the other part of it for Ashel with me is the fact that in order to really like trigger Bombard and trigger it well, you have to get him to level 2.
Kind of. I mean, that's the same thing with your knockdown shot, though, right? It's 1S, 1J on Zaffin for the combat maneuvers. So it's, and Bombard's only 2S, but it's 1J to do something else, I think. I forget.
Yeah, but I don't know. It's just, for whatever reason, it feels, well, and I guess maybe it's also because he has the poison that he can switch to if he needs.
Yeah.
So it's just one of those things. For whatever reason, Zaffin just feels better to me, as weird as that sounds, because like you said, the action economy is effectively the same.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of that shouldn't make any difference.
Yeah.
But it does, in my head at least, and we're not going to get into my head case than I am.
Yeah.
That's a zone that nobody wants to be in. So, but yeah, it was definitely interesting, I got to say, with the waivers and trades that happened this week, because there were a lot less people, or at least from my side, but that's because I did one pickup off the waiver wire, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then I was done with waivers because there was nobody in the pool when it came back around to me. But trades, man, trades took off this week.
Yeah, I think people are probably starting to build out what they want a bit more and realizing that if they want to do that, they have to trade.
Right.
Probably. Well, I mean, the waiver pool is kind of wide open. Mm-hmm. I mean, at least it was a lot more outside of defenders, right? So, like,
yeah.
You know, defenders are the only, like, the only two that are remaining are two copies of Skull.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to aggressors, two copies of Ashel are out there, but you have Astariel, Nephanine, Yorgoth, Zim, and Zhonya. So there's some options out there.
Yep.
Hybrids, you can get your Kane back. Kane, Isabel, Barney, Abathos. A lot of supports. No one's got Cradle, no one's got Gendrys, no one has a Piper.
Yep.
Which Piper's a little interesting one. I'm kind of surprised by that because Piper is such a good utility piece. That feels like he could fit in a lot of warbands.
Uh-huh.
And there's a lot of Soulgazers out there too, right? So there's no one's got Saiyan, no one has Vet, no one has...
Well, and...
Saiyan, Zarin, Zyvera, and then you have Nias and Kroos. Like,
wait, feels nobody like has Svetlana?
No. Saiyan, Zyvera, and Zarin.
Zyvera, okay. I was like,
yep.
Nobody picked Svetlana? What the hell? No, I was going to say, because Kunarbus has Svetlana.
Yeah, so it's... So what's interesting is there's a lot of stuff out there on the waivers, at least outside of defenders, right? So defenders, even with the addition of two copies of Sharn,
yeah,
it seems like defenders are just very, like,
defenders
people
are
probably running two of them. Most of them probably have two of them in their warband.
Yep.
So unless they're getting dropped, unless people aren't immuning them, but taking a look at immunes, it looks like most people are, like, immuning one tank. And then,
yep.
You know, like a primary damage dealer. And then looks like a couple people did Svetlana.
Well, I'll be honest with you.
That, so
Kunarbus is just trying to get the frickin' dwarf team back together.
Oh.
He's trying to play that full dwarf team. And
he needs the sticks or he's in trouble.
Right?
You need the mobility is... And I take it back. You needed sticks in V1 because the mobility was so bad. I don't know if it's actually as bad in V2 because I've not played all the dwarves yet in V2. But yeah, the mobility in V1 was really hampered without the sticks. But once you had sticks, you're like, okay, the warband feels actually not terrible.
Right. Well, that's the thing is I think it's funny that he's been trying to do that. And then like this week, right? He lost Barney.
No, he lost Barney, yeah.
He lost Barney. And so, like, with losing Barney, he was just like, all right, cool. I'm going to, you know, I'm just going to start going and I'm going to grab Svetlana and I'll work on getting Barney next week. But I also know he wanted that Sky and he was right after me in the waiver
Sky?
Pool.
Okay.
Well, because he wanted to pick up another defender.
Okay.
And he was like, well,
just grab Skull. Skull's out there.
That's what I was thinking too, but he's like, yeah, I kind of wanted that Sky, and I was like, well, too bad, and pulled him off the waiver wire.
Oh, boy.
Right before him.
Ouch.
But yeah, in the pool, like, or in the fantasy draft channel, he was like, as soon as I announced Sky, he was like, son of a so but yeah, so the draft has definitely been fun. I think it's something that if they continue to do these throughout, you know, the years and stuff, I'll definitely keep jumping into them
because
they're a lot of fun, a lot of interesting things. But and I hope maybe next time you'll jump in.
Yeah, my thing with it is it's so long, right? Because it's 7 weeks, and. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe. I'll have to see. Because it is an interesting rule set. Some of the injury and some of that stuff I'm not the biggest fan of.
Oh, but that's where
so,
there's... I mean, hell. We have the rules set up for it. Maybe you and I do one.
That's we'll have to see.
You know, but 4 or 5 weeks.
I would definitely probably be interested in doing it. I think there's, I think there's some tweaks to it that I think I would prefer to it. But I do, I think it's a cool format. I think it's flavorful to, like, the fantasy football stuff, so it ties in well with that. I think it's pretty interesting. I think the, I'm curious to see once, like, because it's all being tracked as you guys are going, to see how much some of the warbands truly change by the end.
Right.
And if people, like, kind of held on to the same stuff through a lot of it, which I'm assuming... Yeah, I mean, like, Robbie's been holding on to, like, Marcus and Draugoth every week, it looks like. Lugdrug, Fazeal.
Yeah.
So, like, Tony J has been holding on to Lugdrug and Fazeal each week.
Yep. There are certain people Trimble. It feels like they're trying to practice with certain gods and teams.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this warband isn't, like, if you're trying to practice something for, like, a tournament,
this,
like,
isn't the place to do
this. This is not the way to do it, because you have to be pretty flexible, like, outside your core couple of models. You have to be pretty flexible.
Yep.
You have to be able to be willing to bounce gods unless you want to lose the initiative roll, which just feels kind of bad.
Yep.
Like, that's probably the one rule that I just don't, am not a fan of, is, like, I got there trying to get people to change things, but you're already forcing people to have to drop models, so why are you, in addition, forcing them to have to switch gods? Because it can be really hard to pivot from one god to another unless you take a lot of stuff that kind of works between the two of them.
Right.
Which you can do, but then it kind of limits more, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel you.
So.
Well, Wonky, any other final thoughts on the news, the Hobby Corner, Warfare Weekend, anything like that?
No, I just hope you have fun playing on my map when you have your game for this week. I'm curious to see what you think of it.
I will definitely, I'll definitely try to do a little bit more, like, detailed write-up and such, so I can give you some good feedback on it.
Okay.
Because feedback is definitely something that's going to be appreciated for those community maps. So
yeah, I think that's one thing that, you know, as people are starting to plan community maps, try and think of things for the, you know, when you play on it, that you can give some feedback. Because I know, like, I've tweaked my map a couple of times. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming most people were open to making some changes to make their map more playable, more fun, more balanced.
Yep.
That, you know, we have a maps channel in the Discord you can give the feedback to. And I know, like, you guys are playing on my map this week. It sounds like you're going to be playing on a couple of the other player maps as well, possibly coming up.
Yeah, it sounds like what their plan is, which it seems to rotate every week now. But it sounds
like...
You
guys do seem like you shift your rules a lot, too.
Trust me, it's, I'm just going along because I'm just like, I just want to play some games, get some practice in with some models. Like, now it's cool, whatever maps get voted on for the use of, you know, the That's Judgment Folks League 20 is what we're going to end up playing on. Or we can still play on the other map if we prefer.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, okay, well, whatever. I'll just be up front with my opponent and be like, no, or, sure.
Yeah.
But, well, I know, that I don't have any future things on this at the moment or any other thoughts on it. Other than chaos, pure chaos.
Yeah.
But as always, guys, if there are future topics that you want us to cover and, you know, you want us to talk about them, please go ahead and ping myself or Wonky in the Discord under the podcast and streams channels with the idea, or you can DM them to us. You know, in the meantime, guys, get out there, play your games, and just have some fun. And Wonky, let's portal on out of here.